Praise God. Welcome, everyone, to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. Our wonderful engineer is in there working on some video issues, so if you do not see us video streaming right this minute, hang on, we're working on it. And we also appreciate any time any of you call in if we are having problems with connections and letting us know. Call Cedric, and that is at 727-441-3000. So we are having some issues, but we are going to work on that right now. We're glad you've joined us. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope. And we just had a wonderful day in our service this morning. If you're in the Tampa Bay area and would like to visit with us for a service, please do. You are welcome. Everyone is welcome. We are temporarily meeting in the Ramada Inn at 3580 Almerton Road in Clearwater. Just down from where we were for 3 years in our own space, but that space terminated with the purchase of foreclosure of the building, and it's a long story, but long story short, we are temporarily meeting in the hotel and looking for a new facility, so we'll let you know when we do have that place. In the meantime, we have a great facility at the Ramada Inn, 3580 Almerton, so you may join us, please, at any time. Sunday mornings, 10:30. And on Wednesday night, the Bible study starts at 7. We have prayer meeting that begins at 6:15. And we have a very interactive, fun Wednesday night. So any of you are welcome if you're in the Tampa Bay area. And, of course, this radio show is live every Sunday afternoon at this time, 3 o'clock Tampa time, for 2 hours. And we are in our 7th year on this station, every single Sunday afternoon live. So it's exciting to be here every week. We love it. We enjoy it. And we have a radio team that joins me. And they take turns. I'm always here, but as much as I possibly can. But they join me and chat, and we have a great time. And so we're glad you've tuned in today. If the Ministry of Beacon of Hope is new to you, or you'd like to know more about our ministry, go to our website, which was recently totally revamped by our webmaster, Maxine, up in Georgia. And it is all new. And go to our website, www.beaconofhopeministries.com. That ends in IES, beaconofhopeministries.com. And get acquainted with all of us. Got a great photo gallery. We've got a lot about what we do, what the ministry is all about, what we believe. We are full gospel. We believe in God's healing power. We believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We teach the word. We're a word-based church. That's what we're all about the word of God and what the word of God can do in your life. In fact, our slogan, and has been since we started the ministry in 2001, our slogan is, where the word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. I'm going to say that again because that's our mission. Where the word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. That's what we're all about, Beacon of Hope. So as you tune into these radio broadcasts, it's all about the word. Great contemporary music, live chat with some members of our radio team. Sometimes we take call-ins. We do have the internet up, and we can take emails during the show, each show. And that email address now is pastor@bohmglobal.com. We shortened it so it'd be easier. pastor at BOHM, which, by the way, stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. So pastor at BOHMglobal.com. The prayer line that we have, which we'll talk more about later, is prayers at BOHMglobal.com. If you have the old email addresses in your computer or your phone, they still work. So we're just trying to reach out with a simpler way to contact us. And in the studio with me today, one of our radio team members is Nan Watson. Hey, Nan.
Hey, Pastor.
What a service we had this morning, girl.
What a service. I was just thinking, I got some, well, I always do. I got some fantastic notes off that sermon this morning.
Good. It's great.
Fantastic notes.
We're in Ephesians 4, and we're going to be there this afternoon, too, and take it a little deeper and more discussion here in Ephesians 4. It's how we're walking with the Lord on a daily basis. So that's what we're going to discuss today. And I think it's really going to help our listeners, Nan, to have honest chat and teaching about how important it is that we are walking with the Lord on a daily basis, not just hit and miss once in a while, once a year when you go to a crusade, but really on a daily basis.
That's true. I can remember. Amen, sister.
Amen.
I can remember times years ago, you know, that hit and miss thing. You know, you get pumped up, you're at church, sermon's
right.
Great, everything's
right.
Fine. You think you're just going to catch a devil by the tail, just to use
right,
such
sure.
A, you know, and I'm going to be this, and then you don't read your Bible, you don't pray, you don't spend time with God, and the next thing you know, you're not moving forward as you
exactly.
Remember. So that's the hit and miss that.
Right.
People do, you know, and it's not to be no condemnation, as our
right.
Three C's are, no condemnation.
Right.
Just start doing what you're supposed to do.
Start doing it. And we're going to encourage our listeners today. So we're so glad you have joined us. The word will bring encouragement. Our chat will bring encouragement. The teaching of the word and the great music. I love the music on this show. It's usually more contemporary, but just powerful words in these songs. Connie, our musical director for the show, I mean, really spends time praying about what songs need to be on each show. It's fun.
It is fun. You know, some of them I have heard and some of them I haven't heard. So some of them are like a special surprise.
That's right. I get surprised,
you know?
Too.
And that's pretty cool.
It is. Our first song is by an artist named Paul Baloch, and it is Just to Be With You. We played this a few weeks ago, and it's really been on my heart. It's a good song.
Lord, my life is an empty cup. Here's my heart, would you fill me up? I'm face to the ground, forsaking my pride, leaving my will, my burdens behind. All I want. Just to be with you, just to be with you. Here I am at your feet, just to be with you, just to be with you. I have come to the end of me, and there's nothing I have to. You said I belong, you say I am yours. Nothing compares to knowing you more. All I want, all I need is just to be with you, just to be with you. Just to be just to be with you, just to be with you. Here I am at your feet, just to be with you, just to be with you.
Praise God. I love those words. All I want, all I need is just to be with you. That's the cry of our hearts today. Lord, we just want to be with you. We just need you, Lord, in our lives. Here I am at your feet just to be with you. You know, man, we got to spend more quality time at the feet of Jesus. That is really what God has been saying to our body of believers for a while now.
Oh, I know personally for myself, actually on the way from lunch to the radio show, the Lord spoke to me and said, just turn your radio off and listen.
Right.
And, you know, I can speak for myself, I love different kinds of music, and so I play it in the car, and that accompanies me, you know, as I'm going wherever I'm going. And it was like, just listen to me. And I shut off my radio, and I'm like, okay, Lord, what are you speaking to me? I've turned it off, yeah, and now I wait on you, and I'm driving down the road. And he spoke to me and he said, I'm going to teach you much. And, you know, I was on a medical leave in 2011 for 2 months. And during that medical leave problem, I spent a lot of time with the Lord.
Yes,
you know,
a lot
of time with the Lord. And he just shared so much with me and just speaking to me so greatly, you know, not in an audible voice, of course, but just speaking to within.
But you're hearing.
You hear
still.
Him.
Yeah.
And he's like, get out of the computer. You're going to add more to what I've said. Because what happened, I was typing everything he was saying to me.
Wow.
And I have this whole book of things that he spoke to me. And he's like, he's going to do it again. He's just wanting
God.
Me to, you know, be with him.
Amen. You know? He wants us to spend time with him. I love that song, Just to Be With You.
Right.
You know, all I want, all I need is to be with you. And when we get to that place in our lives, Nan, everything changes. When we get to a place where we make our relationship with Almighty God a priority, in fact, the most important priority in our lives, mm-hmm. when we get to that, then everything else in our day falls into line the way it should. I mean, you know, I've been really trying to practice this for a long time now, and I always encourage our people at Beacon and also our radio audience to when you wake up in the morning, say, God, here I am. Good morning. You know, mm-hmm. Benny Hinn wrote a book years ago. It said, Good morning, Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And it was that same concept. You wake up in the morning. Good morning, God. I'm glad to be alive. What are we going to do today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like when you have a little toddlers. You had a son mm-hmm. and I had three little ones under the age of four for a while. And when we have those little guys, it's like, what are we going to do, mommy? You know, mm-hmm. where are we going? Are we going somewhere? What are we doing? And Nan, we need to be that eager, you know, that God, what are we doing today? Hey, this is going to be fun. I don't know what we're doing today, but God, but I'm on board. Sign me up. Here we go. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. And, you know, during that period I was off, I did a lot of that, you know,
right.
I mean, it was like, where are we going today? And he would lead me
yes.
to places. It was,
wow.
It was incredible what he did during that period.
Right.
I was reading over some of it the other day and it's just really, really powerful.
Well, you've done that kind of thing for years, Nan, since I've known you, is that you've been very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. If he tells you to go, you know, give a perfect stranger money, you do. And I've seen you do all kinds of things led of the Holy Spirit. And you know, this is a good lesson for where we are, and it's really actually a good introduction to this study we're doing in Ephesians right now, because we're on the subject of walking with the Lord. Mm-hmm. The book of Ephesians can be divided into sit, walk, stand. And in our series that we've been teaching here for the last several weeks, three C's for T3, and for those of you that want to write that down so you don't get lost in all that the three C's are confidence, which we've been teaching on the last few weeks, and go to our last few radio shows. Maybe go back to the last five, and you'll get caught up mm-hmm. with the study on confidence, going boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and help in time of need. And then the second one was courage, and we really hit that last week. Mm-hmm. Courage is really all about walking every day with a courageous attitude, with an attitude of, I can do this, you know, with God. Courage, the confidence is your sit part of walking. So where do you sit? You sit confidently in his presence. The courage is, how do I walk on a daily basis? You know, what's going on? And the stand is the no condemnation, that we haven't got to that part mm-hmm. yet in our study. We'll probably start that next week, where we are saying, okay, devil, you're not pushing me around. I am who I am. I'm an overcomer. Mm-hmm. You know, I am more than a conqueror. And we're going to really have some really in-depth study on standing. But right now we're on walk, sit, walk, stand. So we're mm-hmm. on walk. So we're walking with the Lord. We're learning how to walk in victory. It's not always easy, is it, Nan?
No. You know, life happens and stuff happens. And,
well, life does happen.
You know, life just happens. And you know, it's not necessarily always easy to do.
Yes.
But you're greatly rewarded if you do that.
Right. Oh, absolutely. We're going to start with Ephesians 4, and in the first part of Ephesians 4, which we really taught on this morning at Beacon, but we're going to do it a little differently. So we're going to amplify. If any of you are listening that were at the service today, that's okay. Excuse me for coughing here. Ephesians 4:1 in my Message Bible. In light of all this, here's what I want you to do. And this is Paul talking. He was in prison for the gospel. He was, as he wrote many of the books of the New Testament, 2/3 of the New Testament, Paul was locked up for a lot of that while he was writing, probably because he needed the time to write the word, because he was on the go all the time as a missionary. Right. Paul says, while I'm locked up here, a prisoner for the master, I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run. Paul says, get out there and walk. He's locked up. He can't walk anywhere. In fact, a lot of times they had their arms and legs in, you know, chains and irons, and had to be very uncomfortable. Paul says, you guys are out there. Get out there and walk, or run. Better yet, run on the road God called you to travel. The road God called you to travel. Everybody's got a calling, Nan, if they accept it. They don't have to. They can choose to accept that road that God wants us to travel. It's not easy sometimes to choose that, is it?
No, it's not.
Why?
Well, the commitment that is required.
Oh, commitment.
Times.
Oh, that C word, commitment.
C word,
yeah,
commitment.
It takes courage.
It takes courage.
To do the commitment part, doesn't it?
Yes. I have a copy of a poem that he inspired for me.
A poem?
A poem.
Yes.
A poem.
And he inspired for you? Yes.
They actually inspired for me, and it was called I'm Requiring Greater Commitment.
Oh, wow.
And it was a very powerful poem. It was back in, I think, 2010 or 11. I don't recall now, but I...
Greater commitment.
I copied it off, and I got them all over the place to remind myself. Yes, it is difficult to accept a call.
Right.
But it's also very rewarding to accept whatever call God has on your life.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, Paul says here, walk or yet run the road God called you to travel. I think a lot of people, instead of walking or running the road that God called them to travel, they're just sitting by the road. Or laying down by the road in front of their TV. And nothing wrong with TV, not at all. Right. I love TV. I love ball games and everything else. But so often we put our spiritual walk like it's on the side of the road, man. Like it's just like something else. Oh, yeah, yeah, you know.
Well, another side to that also might be is someone like, but this is not that important.
Ah,
get what? Yes. I'm not the preacher.
Right.
I'm not the keyboardist. I'm not leader of the praise group. So this is really not that important. Well, it's all important.
It's all
and if
important.
God places a call on your life, and
yes.
He will, because we're all called.
Right.
And there's all things that, you know. You could touch people that I can't touch.
Right.
I can touch people that you can't touch, because
exactly.
we're in different arenas in our workplaces.
Exactly.
You know? And it's all important. And,
absolutely.
And people need to realize, you know, and many times God calls you to do something what would be considered on a smaller level, and then there's times he will move you up if you want to consider it levels. To,
right.
You know, I really don't like saying it quite that way,
yeah.
but I can't think of any other way to say it. You know, as you're diligent, you know,
right.
There's a scripture. What's the scripture? The scripture that says, I can't remember what it is. Maybe
give me part of it.
Something about if you're faithful. Oh, if you're faithful under small things, I'll give you greater things.
Sure, absolutely.
And that's
faithfulness is key.
Yes.
Faithfulness is key. And I think a lot of times people get so caught up in just the busyness of life and everything going on, jobs, children, lives, relationships, that the relationship with the Lord takes a back seat. This first song we played today, Just to Be With You, All I Want, All I Need is Just to Be With You. It's like we have to have an attitude adjustment. Where does that begin? We talked about this morning. Right. Begins with me, right? I have to come to a point where I realize, okay, God, I need my attitude adjusted so that I long for you. It's a decision. It's a choice. It is a change of mind, of change of mindset, if you will.
Back to the C word, people just don't want to be committed.
Committed.
Because it's going to take time out of their, you know, he dealt with me on the Way to Radio Show. You know, I mean, I watch TV, and there's certain programs I really like, and
sure,
there's certain
nothing
programs
wrong with that.
I record. There's nothing wrong with that unless that's interfering with the time that you need to spend with the Lord. Then you need to perhaps shut it off for a little bit and spend time
sure.
with God. You know,
priorities.
But there's nothing wrong with TV as long as you're watching appropriate
stuff.
You
know? But the thing is, so often we just get caught up in the busyness of life and we don't spend this time. And Paul, he's sitting in jail, he's reflecting on what he wants to say to the people of Ephesus, and he goes, you got to walk, no, better yet, run on this mm-hmm. on this path that God has placed you on, because you're on a life path. Nan, I'm on a life mm-hmm. path. Okay, our paths have crossed because mm-hmm. you're a part of my congregation at Beacon. And we are walking this path as a unit, a family unit at Beacon of Hope. To and some of our listeners are part of that family unit, mm-hmm. even though you're in other states and other places. But what it means is seeing, having a goal out there and going for that goal, mm-hmm. you know, and not just trotting through life one day at a time, but it's with purpose.
Right.
You know, with direction, you know, with wisdom. Let's go on just a little bit before we get Carol in here. He says here, you had better run the road God called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I like that. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And I think that's the case with a lot of people, Nan. And this teaching on walking with the Lord is so important because a lot of us are on a path in our lives, a life path that is really not going anywhere. It's going to the grocery. It's going here. It's going there. It's living. And all of that is part of human nature, and we got to do all that. But what is your life path? Where are you really headed? Are you becoming more like Jesus on a daily basis? Is your song, All I Want and All I Need is Just to Be With You, Lord? Or is it such a back burner issue to spend time with the Lord? Good question, huh? We're going to talk about that on this show today, that walking, what that really means.
You know, I work a job that I have to be there at 7 o'clock in the morning.
That's awfully early, Nan.
Awfully early. I used to
so
work
So what, do you get up at 2:30 to get yourself ready?
No, I barely get up and skim in 10 minutes early if I can. But when I was working a different schedule and years ago, you know, that would be the time I would spend with God. I would get up extra early.
Okay.
Because before all of that life stuff that happens throughout the day, you know, before all that, because at the end of the day, after I would have, you know, taken my son to school, picked my son up,
sure.
got him fed,
all that stuff,
I was tired.
Right.
And I didn't have, you're talking about a mindset change. I didn't have a mindset to say, okay, now I'm going to settle down and do this. I'd sit there and fall asleep reading the Bible. You
right,
know?
Right.
So if there's any ways, I mean, my thing is if there's any way that you can get up early enough, just spend a little time with him. I now, at least in the mornings, because I spend time more so with him in the evening, just because 7 o'clock in the morning is kind of early for me to have to get up to the reading thing. But I will try to read the Jesus Calling devotional
right,
for the day, at
yes.
least to kind of
get that.
Jump start,
right.
you know, the day with that. Just well, taking time.
And that's so good. What we're saying here is as we learn to walk with the Lord on a daily basis, number one, if you're taking notes, is you've got to make your relationship with the Lord the priority, even though that may mean in your busy day that you only have a few minutes here and a few minutes there and a few minutes there and a few minutes there. You know, that's okay. It's a matter of taking that time and making that important in your life, you know, mm-hmm. not just like getting to the end of the day. Oh, gosh, I'm sorry, Lord, never had time to even say one word to you today. Gosh, I was just so busy. I never had a time. I don't know what I'd do without him going through my day, Nan. I mean, all day long. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I know I'm getting ready to make a difficult phone call to a client or whatever, you know, problems to see about. And invariably, when I know, look, this one's going to be a tough situation, I'll just stop what I'm doing, lean back in my desk chair, say, okay, God, I need your wisdom. I need direction right now. I need to speak this situation clearly to my client so they understand what's going on. And it is amazing when I take the moment, the time, it doesn't take that long, but the moment to really give it to God, which is really what's going on, the whole situation gets better.
Well, you carry him with you throughout the day.
Amen.
You know, I know that you spend, because you've said so, you listen to a lot of Graham Cook's CDs in the vehicle and different music, Christian music.
Praise
the,
music.
You know, so you spend...
Yeah,
you,
all the time.
You, throughout the day, your day between clients' appointments, you are spending that time with him. So he's a part of you daily.
Yeah, he is in my life, yes. As a realtor, my schedule... I'm not pinned to a desk, so I can come and go and whatever. So I have time in the car, which is a valuable thing. I love it. Carol from Georgia, are you on the air with us?
I am on the air with you. I don't know how long I'll be on the air since we're experiencing the early beginnings of a pretty bad thunderstorm.
Okay. Well, if you need to go...
For the time being, I'm here.
All right. If you need to go, go. We were having some connection problems. Cedric, do we have video streaming yet?
I'm about to try to switch it back on here,
okay.
And then we'll
hear from the
listeners.
But if nothing else, we have audio. So,
hi, Carol. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, Nan.
Hi, Carol. How you doing?
I'm doing great. What about you?
Doing good, ma'am. Doing good.
Well, that's good because, you know, we're sitting here today blessing the Lord and thanking him for everything. So we're thanking that you're doing good. Pastor's doing good. I'm doing good. We're all in his hand.
We are. Carol, 2 weeks from today, I am going to up there near you to Amelia Island for the wedding of my youngest son, Mark, and his fiance, Candy. And I'm pretty excited about all that, Carol. I mean, God is working in our individual lives, and I just give God the glory for Mark finally finding the right person for him. And it's pretty exciting in my life right now.
I'm sure it is exciting, and even more exciting for him, because he kissed a lot of frogs before he found the woman that God said, why don't you take a look at this young lady?
You know, Carol, sometimes we have to wait on God for, and this is an example of that. Mark did believe God for the right person to come along,
yes,
and she finally did.
Yes, so. She did, and it just took a while for her to be ready. You know, I often speak to people about being ready at the same time.
Right.
Whether it's getting married or whatever it might be, going to school or whatever somebody might be doing, a new job. You can have your heart set on, okay, by July 14th, I want to have a new job.
Right.
But you got to remember who controls the time and the destiny that we all have. And it's the same thing with finding someone to marry.
Right.
God's preparing you all the time while he's preparing the other person.
Amen.
So that when you do meet, you will both know that you are gifts to each other.
Well, that's exactly right. And Carol, in Ephesians 4, Paul is talking about our daily walk. And our daily walk does include that part of our lives, relationships, marriages, partnerships, whatever it might be. Family relationships, kids, grandkids, friends, family. Our daily walk is everything, has everything to do with how we behave on a daily basis. And we're going to see that in Ephesians 4 here. Because I think a lot of people can get so spiritually minded that they aren't good at just ordinary daily living. And God wants to help us out with the daily interactions with those around us. You know what I mean?
Yes, he does. I just left a wedding, it was an anniversary party for a couple that I know here in Georgia, John and June Pringle, and they just celebrated at the Methodist Church here in Walnut Grove. They just celebrated their 50th anniversary.
Cool.
And what what a delight it was to be able to be there with them and their friends and family.
Right.
And to know that they are spiritually connected to God individually, and that they are spiritually connected in love with God as a couple, and that
right.
they live what they feel and know in their heart that God wants them to do. You know, they're just remarkable people. So it was a joy to be there. And, you know, we should feel that when God calls us, like Nan says he has, and the way he talks to her, and that the way he talks to me, it is a privilege to be able to have that communication
yes.
with God, and to know that it is him speaking. And I think, Nan, you're very wise in sitting and waiting for him to tell you what to do. You know, and I think you both brought up a point that I had not truly given much thought to, because when I say when God speaks to me, I was never been totally aware of the fact that nobody else hears it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, when he said to me, go and go now, I kind of thought it filled the car. But obviously, Maxine didn't hear it. You know, so when he speaks to us, it's a voice that we recognize.
Right.
But we might be the only one in the situation that hears the message, because it was intended just for us.
Exactly. And we got to learn to really desire that communication with God. Carol, I think a lot of people are afraid of God's voice. They're afraid of God moving in their lives on a daily basis. And I got to go back to the point about my son, Mark. Because, yeah, he did kiss a lot of frogs, in, so to speak, in that he dated a lot of people through the years, but had never been married. And he's 35 years old, and that's kind of old for a lot of people to get married. But a few years ago, Mark decided to absolutely stop that merry-go-round he was on and start believing God for the right woman that would join him in marriage for the rest of his life. And things began to change for him, Carol. I mean, and you've been our family friend for a long time, so you kind of know this history. But he went through a period of time where he really wasn't dating much, just concentrating on his work as a law professor there in Jacksonville. And, you know, but sometimes those kinds of daily routine changes need to change. I mean, things need to change in order for us to get our attention back on God's desire for us. That's the point I'm trying to make.
It gives us a respite. He takes away what we think we should be doing. Oh, I should be looking for a spouse. Maybe that's them. Maybe that's them.
Right.
And we look. We go to social functions and think, oh, are they here?
Right.
But sometimes I think God says to us in his way of calming us down and bringing us back to his reality, slow down, I will take care of it. In the meantime, you rest in me.
Amen.
Believe in me further. Believe in me stronger. Have faith in me. Hear me.
Yes.
Me. Trust
yes.
me. Know me. I'm always working in your behalf. And when we do that, and you often hear people say, well, if you quit looking for somebody, you'll find somebody. That's because God has... You've taken yourself out of the picture, and God
right.
has removed you. And he said, I am preparing the person for you.
Carol, I so agree. And that fits what I was, this next sentence in Ephesians 4. And I don't know, it's probably about verse 2. In the Message Bible, it says, I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. We need to be people of purpose. We need to be people of intentionality. You know, God is very intentional. He intentionally sent his son Jesus to this earth, die on a cross. He intentionally did all that. Jesus went around as he walked this earth healing people. Intentionally, he did the things he did. We need to be people of intentionality that say, okay, God, here's an area in my life, whether it's somebody out there that wants a marriage partner or something like that, or a new job. Nan, talk to me about this, and then I'll get back to Carol on this. The intentionality in our life needs to improve, don't you think? Do you understand the question? I just got some feedback there. Go ahead.
Say it one more time, Pastor. I'm sorry.
Well, I think so often we get in a rut, Nan, of not purposely walking our daily walk. We just kind of let things happen. you know, oh, I've been in this job for 45 years. I get up, I go to work, rah, rah, rah. And we can get in that with our relationships. We cannot value our family or our... You said to me, I'll give you... I'm going to use you as an example. You said you had to go do something last night to help your mother. Your mother needed something. And you went because your mother's not going to be here that much longer. Right?
Right.
You intentionally didn't go do what you would have gone and done and join a group of people at a party. Instead, you went and did something that your mother had asked you to do. You did that intentionally. That's the point I'm trying to get
at. Oh, most definitely.
Right?
I really wanted to go out with my friends.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, it was like I had told her I would do that.
Right.
And she was expecting me. And
exactly.
I could have called her and said, Mom, I'm not going to become, but then she would feel like I was putting, you know, that I dropped the commitment. One thing, there was a commitment there, and that she would figure I chose my friends over her, and I didn't want, you know, to hurt her feelings.
So you intentionally did the right thing.
Absolutely. I intentionally went. It was just print out one picture to Walmart, but it was, that was important to her. So,
yeah.
But we do need to, do things intentionally. And,
yes.
And, you know, and I can think of the times when I haven't done that, you know, and you just kind of
just
drift
let
through life
happen. Yeah.
Just let life happen. Just drift through. Don't intentionally do it. We need to intentionally stay focused on God. We need to intentionally plan to spend time with Him. We've
Amen.
Talked about several ways you can do that, you know, but however that might be that
now,
works
just like
for you.
You had your own evening plan, but your mother spoke up and said something and you honored that.
Right.
You know, it's, He has intentions for us to do. You could have easily said, Mom, I can't do that. I've already got plans, yada, yada. But He purposed you in His mind to know that He would tell you what to do. Without question, you would go do it. You would become selfless at that point and do something for someone else.
Right, that's exactly
what we need to do. But so often, ladies, we don't hear what God is saying to us because all of the noise in our mind and all the jibber-jabber that we have running through our ears all the time, we fail to understand that we are His by divine appointment.
Carol, you're exactly right. This jibber-jabber you're talking about is so of the devil because he fills our mind with this concern and that problem and this worry and this, what is somebody thinking about me and what is this happening and why did that happen? Nan, you wanted to comment on the jibber jabber. You thought that was great.
Yeah.
She lit up here, Carol, when you said jibber jabber.
I love it, Carol. I love
jibber
it.
Jibber jabber.
That's what it boils down to.
It does.
I mean, how important is what the world is saying to us? How important is that in our life away from here when we go to our reward and sit with Jesus and speak to Him and honor Him with our love and praises? How important is the jibber-jabber here?
Exactly.
I mean, who really cares how you look in that red dress, Pastor?
Well, it doesn't matter, Carol, because I won't be having a red dress on, right?
That's the whole point. You're not concerned about it.
I'm not concerned because I'm not wearing it.
He knows that you don't like to wear red dresses.
No, I do not. Even though there was that bet years ago at Beacon.
Yep.
And you were there, I believe. And if we got so many people on a certain Sunday, I would do that. And I ended up having to swallow that and buy a red dress and da da da. Yeah,
well, that's the way it goes.
I lost the bet.
You make a promise, you got to follow through with it.
That's right.
Do you still have the
and
red
that's
dress?
What Nan did with her mom.
Right.
She made that promise, although it wasn't a promise written in blood or stone. She made the promise.
She did,
and she put herself aside and did something for someone who is probably not totally capable of doing it for themselves. We don't, you know, when we do things like that, we are there at that person's beck and call by divine appointment.
And
God
that's
says,
it.
So do it. And we have a choice. We can say, oh, gosh, can't you send somebody else? Or, no, I don't want to go do that. You know, I had a choice today to go to that reception or not to. And that because we had really forgotten about it until late last evening, we didn't even have anniversary card, so we jumped up this morning and took off to go get cards and stuff. We could have easily said, look, we don't have the cards, you know, we don't go to that church anymore, yada, yada. But because we were there by special request, I said, we can't do that.
Right.
We don't know why they want us there.
But they did. Right.
But they didn't want us there. So I said, we will honor that. And that's what Maxine and I try to do. When we know that God has sent us someplace, there have been times we've driven up in somebody's driveway and look at each other and say, why are we here?
Right.
And I said, I don't know, but I'll tell you in a few minutes. And we go, and the person has said, I was just praying that I could speak to y'all or that God would send somebody for me today.
Amen. And what that is, Carol, is what we're talking about right here in Ephesians 4, walking in the walk on a daily basis in the Lord. Walk in the Lord. In other words, listen to him. Do what he wants us to do. And a lot of times it's we say, oh, wait a minute, I can't. We make excuses. Well, you know, I got this to do and I got that to do. Nan, you're a good example of this because when God tells you to go do something like buy somebody an iced tea at McDonald's or whatever, I've seen you do tons of stuff that would seem bizarre, but yet that thing opens the door for a conversation about the Lord over and over again.
It does. You know, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I mean, I know that you have been with us on some occasions that even Maxine would look at me and go, what is she doing now? And I don't know how to tell you what I'm doing. I just know if I walk into a place and I scan the room, it's like I see that person that is either lost, strayed, or stolen. You know, they're stolen from God by the world. I just know that that's what I'm supposed to do. And I've gone in so many places, and I thought, why on earth did I choose this place to eat today? I haven't eaten here in years. And like you say, there's a situation. Like Nan does, you know, she just has that little mind eye that sees that God has said, focus in on the person in the yellow shirt.
Right.
And you watch them, and you go right to them. No rhyme, no reason.
Amen.
And man, I'll tell you straight from my heart, your pocketbook will never run out of money when you do God's work that way.
Amen. All right, let's go to this.
You will never have an empty pocket.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Carol.
So this group is Hillsong, and I love it. This song is You Are My Strength, because we need God's strength when we are walking this walk.
You are my strength. Strength like no other. Strength like no other. Reaches to me. You are my
I love that song. We're in Ephesians 4, about verse 2 or 3. He is our strength that causes us to be able to walk this Christian walk. In the Message Bible, Paul says in verse 2 or 3 of Ephesians 4, I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. Next sentence. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline. Not in fits and starts, but steadily pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love. I'm going to stop right there and go back to this. This is so important that you walk this walk in a certain way. Paul says, don't be, we talked about this morning, herky-jerky, right?
Yes.
Yeah, herky-jerky, just jerking around and not really getting serious about your Christian walk. Just a little bit here, a little bit there. But I want to go back to this point. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. Mark that you do this with humility and discipline. Humility means to be teachable. Nan, I want to talk to you first, and I'll get to Carol here. Humility, being teachable, is that easy, and how do we get to the point that we are teachable? Because a lot of people are full of pride. They're full of arrogance, and they don't want to receive instruction.
Well,
she's thinking.
Well, I know what I'm thinking. I'm not quite sure how to say it. I can only speak for personally myself.
Okay.
I know a lot of people that have problems being teachable.
Right.
Because they don't want to take the time.
Right.
They don't want to listen to instruction. They don't want to feel like someone's in charge of them. All kind of pride issues can come
right
up. I have sat under your teaching, and for the most part, I've been basically teachable, except when I was being rebellious, of course. But
she's been teachable, except when she was being
when I was rebellious.
There you go. Yeah.
But I mean, it's such a beautiful place to be in when you're teachable.
Why is that so great?
Well, you're learning of the Lord.
Right.
And the more that you learn of the Lord, and the closer you draw to the Lord,
yes,
and just being close to the Lord is just such a totally awesome thing. I mean, just totally, totally awesome.
Humility. I mean, God, it says in 1 Peter 5, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And I think a lot of times we don't understand how important it is to be humble, to be teachable. Because he opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He says, people that full of pride, pride comes before a fall. You know, go ahead.
Well, humility, many times people view that as a weakness.
Right.
It's actually a strength.
It's a strength,
you know. And, I watch people at Beacon and different ones who are very teachable. They're like little sponges soaking
yes
up the word. And
yes,
it's so cool to see that when when someone comes in who has been, maybe hasn't been in church hardly their life. We have some like that. Or we have others who have been in various denominations that they say they didn't really learn a lot in.
Right.
You know, but yet they come under your anointed teaching. And they're teachable. They
praise
want to
God
hear. They want to sit around and talk about the Bible. They want to be there on Wednesday nights when it is open Bible discussion so that they can ask questions, so they can make
right
comments, so they can
right
make statements.
Right.
And you know, that just shows the humility of the people of wanting to learn more of God. And the more that you learn of God, the closer you drill.
Absolutely.
And that is just the most fantastic place to be, close to the Lord. God's my best friend.
He's your best friend.
My best friend.
And Paul knew this here because he says that we are to walk this walk with humility and discipline. We'll talk about the discipline part later. Let's talk about the humility part. Carol, you want to comment on this, how important this is to not be full of pride and arrogance?
Pride and arrogance will not stand. It will always crumble. It may not crumble as when the general public that knows somebody who behaves that way would wish that it would crumble, but God has a time and a place
yeah
and a reason and a season.
Right.
It will crumble. He does not embrace pride.
Right.
We are to be humble servants of Christ. He stands ahead of us, before us, and we are to honor him with our humbleness. And not being teachable is a fault within an individual. We don't know enough. People that are prideful think they know everything about anything there is.
Like teenagers,
and when
right
they make that statement, they are truly showing their ignorance.
Right, exactly.
Because they don't know much of anything when you get right down to it. If you don't know God, you can't know much about anything else.
Right.
You can't understand the fish and the fowl and the trees and the flowers. You can't understand the earth. You can't understand life cycles. You can't understand day and night.
But, Carol, a lot of people...
Day and night. There is so much that goes on in the world that if you are in Christ, you see it in a different way. And you cannot stand before God and be prideful if that's all that you can do. It is not possible to stand before Him and be prideful. You have to bow in humiliation.
But a lot of people are full of pride and arrogance, and a lot of that, to me, are religious spirits that have caused these people to think, well, I went to seminary, or I did this, or I did that. And this can trip people up all the time, because God continually talks up to us about becoming humble before the Lord and saying, Lord, okay, whatever you want to teach me in this situation today, I want to learn it. I don't want to tell you what to do. I'm going to ask you to intervene in my situation. But Lord, you know the best solution for my problem. And so I'm going to submit to your will in this situation. Surrender and submission. These are two words that God was speaking to us today. Remember, Nan, in the
yes.
prophetic word,
right.
submission and surrender to mm-hmm. God's will in situations. And it's not always easy. And people... a lot of people are hung up, I think, Carol, with pride and arrogance that they know how they're going to fix somebody else, so they're going to tell them how it's got to go. And they expect that person will receive exactly their instruction. And a lot of times that just causes problems in churches, causes problems in homes and families. Whoa.
It causes problems any place that person ventures.
Right.
Because they don't value any other person, any other person's opinion,
right.
any other person's experiences. They only know that they are the one that should be heard.
Right.
And 9 times out of 10, their voice speaks very loudly, but their actions of love and humiliation and walking with God and being as humble as He tells us we must be and answering His call, those don't show up.
Right.
That is a missing element of their life.
And they can talk a good talk. Nan, you've grown up in church. Nan has been a church leader like Carol, like you and I have been for years, all these years in the ministry. You've seen, Nan, leaders in churches that could talk the talk but could not walk the walk, right?
Yes, unfortunately, that was true. And the problem when you're dealing with leaders like that, that really can have a mighty impact back on the sheep of that particular church, and it can have a lot of negative situations arise,
right?
Because they're not walking the walk.
And so often, the leaders can say the right things, but when it comes right down mm-hmm. to it, there is a problem there in their walk with the Lord, because they're not really connected like they need to be connected in humility.
I think one thing, too, and I have to put this on church leaders, because I've seen it more times than one. Church leaders do not always seem to look and recognize that there's truly a servant of God in their midst who is humble, who is teachable, who wants to teach, who wants to be an active part. And oftentimes those people are overlooked by leadership because they're threatened by those people.
Yeah, that can happen too.
And I think that's absolutely hysterical.
Yeah, that can happen. I mean, it really can. And Nan, you wanted to comment
on
that too.
Well, I was reminded, what came to mind, I was attending a very large church. And it was at the beginning, it was back in like 1998, 99, something like that. And it was at the beginning when the Lord started giving me the poems.
Okay.
So He gave me a set of poems for the pastor
of
this very large church.
Oh, wow.
But these were not poems of encouragement, as all the other poems had been to everybody. These basically stemmed on correction.
Mm.
And I thought, God, you got to be joking. He's the pastor of this great big church. How's he going to respond to it? And the Lord spoke to me, as He has always done, and said, you're not responsible for the reaction to them. You're responsible for being obedient to me.
Right.
So I gave him these book of poems. It was like 7 or 8 of them. gave him this book of poems, and I said, God inspired these for you. Right. And I gave them to him. And he had become accustomed to the poems because I would have them in the group of the people in the church I knew. I would give them to him, and, you know, so, and it's in our little prayer group and different things. So he was accustomed to that. He wasn't accustomed to what I gave him.
Wow. How was it received?
He just said thank you, and he never said a word about them.
All right.
And I'm like,
never
I was
read them.
He may or may not, you know.
Who are you to hand him inspired, you know, poems?
Yeah.
That were supposed to help him. I mean, who were you?
Right, exactly.
And that could have been the case. Yeah. Yeah.
So but, I mean, whatever happened,
it's not
whatever.
Your problem.
It's not my problem.
I often have to sit back and just laugh and think, well, look where you are now.
Yeah. But it's not a problem.
Some of these pastors that just won't accept anything, like, you know, they stand on that pedestal and they expect to be put up there. It doesn't matter if their personal life is falling apart. It doesn't matter if their financial life is falling apart. It doesn't matter if they've had 19 different wives and husbands or whatever the situation might be.
Wow.
You know, they're standing there on that Sunday and they're being holier than thou.
And that happens in some churches. Yes, you're right, it does.
And, you know, and then the people who are humble and are full of the Spirit and full of the gifts of God never get heard.
Well, and, you know,
they can't look at them and think, you might know something. But God endows all of us,
right.
All of us, with special gifts. And if we use them appropriately, and if the pastors that head the churches and the other church leaders pay attention, it should be fairly obvious after a while that a particular individual, like you, Nan, with your poems, should be able to be recognized and of value.
But and I agree with all that, but Nan or any of us have an obligation to, if God says write this and give it to somebody, do it, and then you let it go. And
that's
you
right.
Don't
you
get all mad and upset.
And so did you read it? How did it feel?
No.
Never.
You just let it go.
You
let
it go.
Right.
Well, I understand what you're saying. Sometimes there's no rhyme or reason as to why I sit down. All of a sudden, this will come to me, and I write it.
Right. And that's what you just, obedience, that's all
that's
he asks of us.
That's what I'm supposed to do. Sometimes
right.
It's a message to myself, and Nan, I'm sure you understand that. Sometimes my visual, the motions of my hand going across the page put down a reminder that I personally need.
Mm. Right. Exactly. God gives us words. Yes, he does.
You
wow.
Know, I definitely know that he does. And I definitely know that, you know, when he tells you something, it's a promise. One of my trips down to the mailbox, which I probably should write trips to the mailbox stories, because that's when he speaks to me a great deal. I'm out in the beautiful sky and all the flowers and stuff, and I go trooping down to that mailbox. And one of the things he said to me after I was basically finished with my cancer treatment, I heard him say to me, I will bless you.
Right.
And I'm thinking, how would you bless me? You've already blessed me with life.
Yeah.
You know, I can't expect anything more. You've given me this wonderful gift of life in you. You saved me from this dreaded disorder, this disease. Now, what can I do for you?
Yeah. Wow. But he does.
You know, I am so blessed. You know, people tell me all the time, you act so happy. I said, I am blessed.
Right.
I really am blessed. The Lord knows who I am.
Amen. We're going to talk more about this in our next hour. We've got to do station ID right now.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
Okay, we just had a problem there with the sound, but that's okay. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And it's a joy to be with you today. We are on the air every single Sunday afternoon at 3:00 live, and that's Tampa time. And we welcome you to invite friends and family to listen to the shows. We have a wonderful ability now and have had for the last few years. Our engineer, Cedric, who is so cute in there and so capable and doesn't understand what just happened with that feedback. And he's just, he records our shows and gets them to us by email, which is an amazing thing. Mm-hmm. And we get it on our website. Maxine does, maybe by the evening of the next day after the show. So we have tons of radio shows. Nan, do you go back and listen to any of them ever?
Yes, I do, and I take notes when I go through them, too.
Do you? Because they're a teaching tool, right?
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Sit there with my computer and type away for 5 or 6 pages as the radio show goes.
Oh, fantastic, because you just go to the radio show, mm-hmm. and we've got titles of what we talked about. And listen, and they're very clear, very good, and easy to access. So we welcome you to go to beaconofhopeministries.com and catch up on some of the radio shows, especially the last 4 or 5 that have been on this book of Ephesians. I think would be great for our listeners to go back and listen to. It is amazing, Nan, that God is continuing to work in each of our lives on a daily basis in our ministry at Beacon of Hope here in Clearwater. And we have so many supporters around the United States and different places that do listen to this broadcast, which you can catch every Sunday at this time on www.tantalk1340.com, which is the internet connection if you're not in the Tampa Bay area to hear it on 1340 AM. So it's really good. Finances, Nan, we don't talk much about money here on this broadcast, but we invite people to plant tithes and offerings into this ministry because we are just simply giving the word service after service and radio show after radio show. It's all about the word. It's a good soil to put your tithes and offerings.
It's definitely, I mean, there's no mismanagement of the funds.
Right.
And they go to the cover the expenses of the ministry, which there are expenses of the ministry. You know, and if people listen and if they don't attend a regular church, this basically is kind of like their church service.
Absolutely.
On the radio. And I would encourage them to, you know, contribute their tithe.
Right.
It's good soil.
Amen.
It's good soil. You know, if someone feels like they want to give a special offering or a special gift, you know, get on there, get on PayPal. You can certainly do it.
Just go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, go to PayPal and do that. And you'll be blessed for it. And I'll tell you what, we are saving money right now to get our own space. So it would be good if you want to give. We're not going to yell and scream about money by any means. We're not. We're just going to invite you to be used of God to plant finances into this ministry by going to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and going to PayPal and planting some financial seed there. Or if you're in our services, give over and above your tithes and offerings to further the work of the Lord. And this is good soil. We're in our 7th year on the radio. Can you believe that, Nan?
It's exciting.
It's a long time. All right. We are talking about the book of Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll get back to that discussion and teaching in a moment. We're going to a group called Cutlass. This song, I love, All Who Are Thirsty. God wants you to be thirsting after him.
As the deep cries out to
Praise God. All who are thirsty, that's what we need to be. Thirsting and hungering after the Lord, desiring Him more than anything else in our lives, putting the relationship with Him as top priority. We're in Ephesians 4. If you've just joined us on Living the Good Life, we're in the Message Bible. We're about verse 3 of Ephesians 4. Where Paul says that we are to walk this walk with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily pouring ourselves out for each other in acts of love. I love that. Alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. You are all called to travel on this same road and in the same direction. So stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. And so often people get so hung up on the area of relationships and getting along with each other. Churches are notorious places for people to get mad and leave and get angry with this one or that one. And Paul is reminding us, all of us here, that this walk with the Lord is to be steady. It is to be one of where we are pouring ourselves out for each other in acts of love. Acts of love. And sometimes we find that we go along and we just get our tail feathers in a spin, man, all the time sometimes, because so-and-so looks at us a certain way, or they didn't respond to us the way we wanted them to respond, or they didn't applaud us for our whatever we did, our contribution, the way we felt that we should be applauded. And a lot of times people are so cotton picking, and I'm going to say that word, here we go, cotton picking sensitive. They wear their feelings on their sleeves and they get so upset because so-and-so didn't buy their idea in the church committee meeting, or this happened or that. Speak to me on that, Nan, and then we'll go back to Carol.
Well, I was thinking about at the beginning part of that, how, you know, well, the pastor looked funny at me today, and she didn't even come over to say hello.
Right.
You know, and things like
stuff
that.
Stuff like that. Did I do that, by the way?
No, you didn't. Wait a minute. Come to find out.
Oh,
no.
You are bad. Right. But I know you're right about that. Or you forget to hug somebody, and they go home saying, everybody got a hug, but I didn't, you know.
Well, that's one thing I try to be careful about, you know, because I'm a big hugger.
Right.
And I really do try to get around to everybody. Well, just because I love them. That's why I hug them. Because I love them. They're my family, you know.
Right.
But because people know I'm that way, I try to be careful.
Right.
Because that can cause a situation
to
come up.
You got
to
make sure.
You have to try to be careful. But, you know, people, you know, I mean, if I thought that you acted and treated me a different way some Sunday morning or something, I would actually pull you aside later and say, hey, this is how, and you spoke on this morning.
I did speak
You spoke
that.
On this. See, I was listening, Pastor.
You
I
were listening after all.
After
I thought
all.
You were dozing.
I wasn't. I was listening. But, you know, pull someone aside and say something to them.
Sure.
You know, I mean, it's those little wedges and those little things and those little splinter of things can get into a situation and can turn into a gigantic, you know, round boulder or something when nothing was meant by anything at all.
Right.
And Satan is going to take that opportunity to try to cause discord in the church.
Absolutely. And so I said this morning that Matthew 16 or 18 says, if you have, if somebody's offended you or you feel that they're mad at you, scripturally, we are to go to our brother, our sister and say, hey, I feel like there's something wrong here. What have I done? Please forgive me. I'm not aware of what I've done, but we need to take the action. And Nan, you and I have discussed this concept many times in leadership, and you are a big proponent of going ahead and asking somebody, have I hurt you? Have I offended you? Right.
Oh, most definitely, because I don't live in such a way to try to do that with people. That's just not my thing.
Right. You don't want to hurt.
Absolutely
I don't either.
Not.
I ever
right.
want to hurt people intentionally, but things happen. But the problem, that there's twofold problem here. One is that people can harbor resentment, mm-hmm. and it gets bigger and bigger and nastier and uglier and smellier down on the inside of us, mm-hmm. that resentment, if things aren't dealt with. And the other problem, I think, a lot of times is people are just so sensitive, so looking, and a lot of it is from their own deep-rooted issues where they're feeling insecure, they're feeling that they're not as important as so-and-so to the pastor or whatever. You know, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. I was thinking of a lady at work. She now has taken leave of absence. But she is so sensitive. She's one of the secretaries. And
right.
It's terrible. I mean, it was terrible. If something happened, she would always take it the wrong way and think everybody was slanting against her.
Right.
Someone was out to get her. Someone was at
paranoia.
This. Paranoia. And I heard a lot of stuff from her while, you know, in the 3 years that I've been there, you know. And she's very, very passive, actually. But she would come and talk to me. She wouldn't
hardly
talk to anybody else.
But that's how people like that do that. They go behind the scenes and
right.
talk and stir up
the
trouble.
And it was just...
Yeah.
I would always try to reassure her, no, I think this was the way it was meant, you know, to
right.
try to calm her down a little bit.
Right. But this is a real stumbling block in churches and in families. Carol, talk to us about this, because it is a problem. A lot hypersensitivity.
People typically seem to think that they're insignificant, because quite often... they're insignificant in their families. They're insignificant at work. They're insignificant in their social life. And they begin to feel that they don't matter, that
right.
it doesn't, their life has no purpose, no rhyme, no reason. They wear their hearts on their sleeves.
Right, yeah.
And our job, I think, as leaders of a church, is to convince people through the love of Jesus Christ that they matter.
Amen. Amen.
They
that
have a purpose,
gets a bell.
They have a reason for being at that church on that
right.
particular day.
Yes.
I love this when a pastor says this, or any church leader, you are here today not because of an accident. You may have to try to, you may have tried to decide, should I be here today? Should I not go to church today? But for whatever the reason, you came to church, and it wasn't just your reasoning. It was God's divine intervention for
yeah.
you.
Planning.
You needed to hear the message. You needed to be out with the people. You needed to receive the attaboys, the hugs, the gosh, it's good to see yous, whatever. You know, human people wear their hearts right on their sleeves. Like you said, Pastor, we don't know their backgrounds in most circumstances. We don't know how insignificant they were made to feel from the time they
exactly.
were
exactly. Yes. That's a lot of it.
One of the things that we have to do, and this is a big thing with me, is exhortation.
Absolutely. You're great about that, Carol, and you do that with me, you know. Nan wants to comment on what you just said here.
Well, it's kind of going a little weird situation here, but I was thinking, we do that. But at what point do we stop doing that? What I mean is, it can drain you. Trying to sit there and encourage someone all the time can get drained. I mean, God's with you.
Right.
But still, at some point,
Well, there are some times where God will say, okay, let somebody else
right.
take the baton from
there
here.
There you go.
And go on.
Well,
the
track meets.
Right.
And he does that.
Right, he does.
There are times when he says, you know, like you're saying, Nat, you've done it 100 times. You're the name they call. You're the phone number they remember.
Right.
You're the shoulder they cry on until your shirt is just soaking wet.
Right.
And you've said everything that you know to say.
It's true.
And I feel that when I said everything I know to say, God steps in and I'm just moving my lips and he's talking through me.
Uh-huh. Right.
And then there are times that you have to simply look up and say, honey, I'm not getting through to you. Mm-hmm. Either I don't hear your need as you want me to, or I'm not able to fill your need. But let me bring over so-and-so. Let me bring over Nan. She's really good. She can help you. She works in that arena, whatever.
Right. Good point, Carol. Sometimes you,
know,
you do have
I
to.
I should bring in the music director and say,
right.
this person feels like they have no talent, no gift, yet they want to sing. Okay, now it's on the music person to say to them, you got no talent, no gift. You need to sit there and fan that fan.
Right, fan that fan, and don't
do
you dare sing.
Music, will you?
Well, what you're saying is sometimes God puts us in a situation with certain people that we can minister to, and then sometimes we come to a dead end with that person, and they do need to be referred to somebody else, or say, you know, yeah, I think that so-and-so needs to talk to you, or whatever. Nothing wrong with that. There really isn't.
And sometimes sometimes I think he puts people in our path to give us the encouragement that we need, because he will give us answers until he tells us, okay, you've done your job. I've trained you for this. You will deal with this same situation many times in your life. Atta girl, Carol. And then it's time to hand the baton to somebody else.
Well, Carol, this is so cool that of course we don't plan these shows. We don't know where it's going. We knew we were in Ephesians 4, and that's all we know when we start a show. Ephesians 4:14 in the Message Bible says this: no prolonged infancies among us, please. We'll not tolerate babes in the woods, small children who are an easy mark for imposters. God wants us to grow up. Now that receives a bell, okay? God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and tell it in love, like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. We've got to learn to give these troubled people in our lives, whoever they might be, into God's hands, and whatever God's role for us is in that life, then we carry it out. And when we come to a place, Nan, you mentioned a minute ago, and Carol piggybacked on that, and it was right on. It comes to a point sometimes where we refer somebody to somebody else, or we simply say, I can't do this, God, and we give them to God. People need God. They need God. Nan, comment, and then I'll get back to Carol on this.
Well, what comes to mind, we had a young lady when my husband and I were married, and she was not the age of our youth group. She was a little bit older than that. And she took a very quick clinging to us. And I had known her, like, when I was a teenager. Well, when I was a early 20s, she was, 10, 11. So, I mean, I had known her for a long time at our church. And she just, it just became so, is the word laborious?
Yes.
Of dealing with her.
Yeah.
It's like I hated to see that she was going to call us.
Right.
And if I recall correctly, she actually stayed with us for a while, which really took, that it was just, she acted like she wanted help. She really didn't want help. And we saw that.
Well, there is a word that somebody taught me a while back in situations like this. It's very simple. It's no.
I always have had problems with, I had a pastor's wife one time tell me, Nanette, if you would ever learn just the word no, you would be okay.
Carol, talk to me about this, because I think a lot of times troubled people that need God but don't realize they need God try their best to get everything from some other person, their prayer support, their love, their attention, everything.
Pastor, what happens is they become a leech on your skin.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. And yeah.
Their problems may not be real at all.
Right.
Their problems may be in their head, and it could be insecurity, it could be insufficiency, it could be incubation of terror, or whatever it might be.
Right.
But they're not seeking an answer, Nan. They are seeking the attention that people searching for an answer to help them will try to give them.
Right.
I think there's a song in here someplace called People Need the Lord.
That's coming up next, Carol.
Yep, and that's what we need. We need him. And it's admirable of those people who stand up and try to help somebody. But you're wise, Nan, and people listening, you're wise to understand that there's a time that you have to stop.
Right.
And you have to pass that baton to someone else and say, done the best I can, don't know how else to do it, I will pray for you, I will reference you to someone else, and meanwhile, here's Scripture. I think if you open up your Bible and you read these passages that I'm going to tell you, you will find
Amen.
Your comfort and your peace.
Amen. Carol, did you know that was the next song that we were getting ready to play?
I didn't have a clue. I just know that people need the Lord. We need
to have
good times.
Look at that.
Celebrating.
Carol, the very next song, which is due right now, is People Need the Lord by Avalon. Now, what does that tell you? What does that tell me? It tells me you're flowing in the Holy Spirit, and this is where we are in our discussion right now. Actually, I'm going to tell our listening audience, this song set was the one we did on March 17th, and because the person that was going to be on the show with me today could not do it, I had to pull an old song set for the show, and I felt led this morning very early when I was looking back through some song sets that this one was the one for today. How like the Holy Spirit. Carol, this is the song. We are up, and I can prove it to you right here. It's right in front of me, in front of Nan, in front of Cedric. Would you all agree this is the next song up, right? So Carol realizes. Cedric, was this the next song?
It is.
All right. It's People Need the Lord by Avalon. Here we go, Carol.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go.
Praise God. People need the Lord. That's the answer. What happens so often, and we're discussing our walk with the Lord today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, so often people look to other people to solve their problems and meet all their needs, Nan. And then I'm going to get back to Carol on this. That was amazing how the Holy Spirit just brought that song at this right moment. Nan, I think what happens in a lot of churches happens in families, happens in marriages, etc., workspaces, is people look to people to meet all their needs of attention, their needs of companionship, their needs of any kind of need, you name it. And instead of relying on God, the relationship, a personal relationship with God, that will meet a lot of the needs, not everything. I mean, God's not going to cook you a meal. He might provide the groceries, but you're going to have to probably put the food in the pan, you know, and heat it up. You know what I'm saying? He's not, yes. but he is really wanting to get involved in our daily walk every day. Comment on that. And then I'm going back to Carol.
Well, you said that sometimes people look to and lean to other people for their needs when they should be leaning towards God. You know, I can say that many years ago, I was like that. I mean, looking back, hindsight tells me I was
Nan.
Like that.
Oh, my.
Confession time. I'm very honest.
We all were.
You know, and I didn't realize at the time, I mean, looking back now, I hadn't thought about it till this now, but, you know, I did that, you know?
Sure.
And, I mean, I was in leadership, but I did that.
Sure.
you know, with the pastor's wife, and, you know, I always really, like, always had a better rapport with the pastor's wife than the pastor just because of, you know, that's just the way that it was, you know, based on the personality types and everything. And, you know, you had to be careful in a church being with
sure.
the pastor being a male, that you got to be careful not to, you know,
sure.
act in any kind of inappropriate way or things that could appear that way. But, you know. People.
So it's something we've got to learn that yes, God uses people in our lives all the time. But there are times that we need to realize that our strength comes from the Lord.
Right, exactly.
He is our strength. He is our peace. The Lord is the strength of his people. Did a ceremony, wedding ceremony last night, and gave these people a life verse that God had given me for them. And it was Psalm 29:11. It says, the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And this comes from God. Yes, it can come through an individual, but the root of it is God.
And what's coming from the individual is coming from God, because God's speaking
through
them.
There you go.
You know?
So it's coming from God.
So when you go to God, you're eliminating the middleman.
All right. Yes.
But we need the middleman in our lives.
Yes.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. It just depends on how much you rely upon the person.
Exactly. People need the Lord. Carol, talk to me.
Well, I have a thing on my hall. It's a little frame, and I found this years and years ago. And it says, peace. This I seek each day.
Amen.
And my peace comes from my relationship with Christ.
Right.
I can get aggravated with humans and sometimes not even want to talk to them, but I never cease talking to him.
Amen.
I never cease conversing and asking him, how should I have handled that? That wasn't appropriate, was it? How could I have handled that better?
Right.
And while, you know, if you're watching me, you probably think I'm thinking about nothing but a fresh banana and, you know, a Diet Coke. But constantly, all day long, I talk to God.
Sure, exactly.
And I listen to him, and I hear what he says to me. I may not always like what he says to me, but I trust him to be correct with me and to tell me what I really need to do or don't need to do.
Absolutely. We need God.
I think it's vitally important that we learn to value each other as human beings.
Amen.
One of the things a principal said to me one time when I had been asked to go interview for a particular job that he had, and I was perfectly content where I was, but the superintendent asked me if I would go interview for this particular teaching job. So I went there. There was a little boy up the tree, and the teacher, I guess this happened frequently, and the teacher ran in and spoke to the principal, broke up our conversation, literally ran in, spoke to the principal, Rodney's up the tree again. Now, I guess everybody was supposed to run, and since I was in a wheelchair, I didn't get there fast enough. So I waited, and so the principal comes, and he comes back, and he pushes me outside in the wheelchair because I had a broken ankle. And he said to me, "What would you do to get him out of this tree?" Because people down there were trying to cajole him down. They were offering cookies and whatever. And I said to him very simply, I said, "Is your name Rodney?" And he said, "Yes, ma'am." And I said, "You know, it's hard to carry on a conversation when I have to look up. And we could be talking face to face. I'd like to chat with you for a minute, if you don't mind." He said, "Sure." He jumped out of the tree and came down. I went over. He said, "Let me push you to that ledge." So I went over. He pushed me to the ledge, and we sat down and we talked. All these other people are in total amazement. And the principal came over and called me aside, and he said, "How did you do that?" I said, "You see, one person's trash is another person's treasure." I said, "This young man has a lot to say."
Right.
But the ears are closed.
Right.
Now, the ears of God are never closed.
Amen.
And we go to him.
Amen. Amen.
You know, Jesus intercedes for us and says, "Father,
yes,
Carol wants to talk to you."
Mm-hmm.
Or, "Father, Carol needs to hear from you today."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he takes me there.
Right.
You know, in my mind, I go and I realize that I'm not trash. To some people, I might be somebody they'd like to throw a spear through. But God says, "Oh, I have a purpose for you and a reason. I need to talk to you about that." And that's what he does when he intercedes with us. He sits down and he says, "Look, I've given you so many gifts. Some of them you've ignored, but we'll work on that, Carol. And some of them that you really continue to do and you do well." And I feel at that point in time, I have heard his voice. I have heeded his call. I know that he will never, ever, ever take me to a bad place.
Well, that's trust.
He always looks out for me. He protects me. He guards me. He guides me. He teaches me. And I can walk humbly before him because I know who built this earth and who built me.
Amen. Ephesians 4:16, I was looking at it just then when you were talking, says this: "His very breath and blood flow through us." Wow. His breath and his blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy. Read that in your King James. "So we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love." Nan, read your King James of Ephesians 4:16.
"From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edification of itself in love."
And all that means this in the Message Bible, Ephesians 4:16, "His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us, so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love," which means the more we allow the Holy Spirit to do the work in us on a daily basis as we're walking this walk with God. We're taking his hand. We get up in the morning. Here, let me have your hand, Holy Spirit. You know, we're going to walk this walk today. I have no clue what's coming my way.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's a poem.
Ooh,
I didn't even know it.
I feel the inspiration coming on now.
Yes. We're going to walk this walk today. I have no idea what's coming my way, but this I know, God and me, we're going to be okay because he's going to take us through. Nan's going, "That was not a very good poem." But that's
no,
okay.
That was great, Pastor.
Okay,
we'll work on it later.
We'll work on it later. Okay, but see, God is flowing through me. His mm-hmm. breath. His blood is flowing in my veins. I can be confident that he is nourishing me and teaching me all day long. And it says that I am supposed to be growing up in him and learning his ways and listening to his heart. Talk to me about that, Nan, and then I want Carol's take on that.
Well, I was looking at the verse in King James, and at the end of it, it said, "Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love."
In
and
love.
That in love kind of stood out to me. You know, we did, I was at that wedding last night, and, Pastor Jim read, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, talk about love. So that love thing kind of stuck out,
yes,
you know,
it does.
As we were involved with that ceremony last night.
Right.
Know? And I just,
it's what it's all about is love. This whole world needs love. What the world needs now is
love, sweet love.
Love, sweet love, right?
That'd be a great song.
I mean, great song, but that is what we need. And God is love. So we boil it down to the nature of God, which is love. What does everybody need? They need to feel loved. And a lot of people's behavior that is not too sweet, kind, and lovely, as my dad would have said, is because they don't feel love. They don't feel, like, Carol, your story about Rodney.
Well, you know, talking about people not, you know, people needing love and needing to be loved, that young lady that I did reference earlier, she really tried our patience.
Right.
I mean, she really wore us out because she would act like, and it was because of what had happened in her life. She was like, so when are you guys not going to love me? You know,
right.
Was her attitude.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
When is this going to fall through that they don't love me? And we loved her. I mean, there was, regardless of if she ever did anything or didn't anything, I mean, we loved her just because we loved her,
right.
You know? And, but I think sometimes people, you know, like I said, when is the bottom going to fall out of this wonderful thing and when are they not going to love me anymore?
Exactly. And that is the question that's nagging in the back of a lot of people's minds that caused them to feel less than, caused them to feel like they're constantly grasping for love, mm-hmm. constantly trying to grab a hold of attention and love from someone because they don't feel loved. Carol, talk to me about that.
As a teacher, I can tell you this. There are two kinds of behavior, good behavior, bad behavior.
Okay.
It's that simple. Now, if a child or an adult needs to be seen, heard, and recognized, which behavior is going to garner them the most attention?
The bad behavior.
The bad behavior.
I was a teacher too, I know.
Any attention I get
right.
is better than no attention I won't get.
Right.
So they take the bad behavior, and then it behooves me as a teacher to turn that bad behavior into good and let them see how much more honorable they are to themselves and to God by taking on the good behavior and changing their lifestyle. I'm looking here in my Max Lucado Bible in Ephesians 3, and verses, I will start with verse 17. I pray that Christ will live in your hearts by faith.
Amen.
And that your life will be strong in love and built on love.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray that you and all of God's holy people will have the power to understand the greatness of Christ's love, how wide and how long and how high and how deep it is.
Ooh.
Christ's love is greater than anyone could ever know. But I pray that you will be able to know that love. Then you can be filled with the fullness of God. Isn't that
Boy,
amazing?
That's right on,
it's
Carol.
It's all about love. And it's such a simple little word. And sometimes it's so hard to express it. How many times have any of us dated somebody or married somebody, and, you know, we all of a sudden get this warm fuzzy one day that's like, I love that person. I didn't expect to. I was just going to have a good time. But I love that person.
Right.
And when we love that person, we're loving God's child.
Right, right.
And we should honor that child with our love, with our commitment, with our strength and courage.
Right, right.
And we should always hold that person in a place of honor.
Amen.
And if there are times that we can't because situations come in, families divorce, split, sweethearts divorce and split, whatever it might be. But at the same time, we know that we're experiencing something great when we can turn ourselves to Christ and say, I lost the love that I had here because I don't know if I messed up or they messed up or what, but I feel your love for me.
Amen.
Just like Mark is feeling God's love through his new wife-to-be, Candy,
yes.
And vice versa.
Yes, that's exactly
they
right.
They know that they are special together
right. Amen.
Because he put them together.
Amen.
Answering Woo. Prayer from Mark, answering prayer from Candy, answering the prayers last night at the wedding ceremony at church. It is that answering this couple today, 50 years. Gosh, can we imagine what they went through in those
wow.
50 years? But they stuck it out.
And their faith blended them, knowing that he was at the center of their universe.
Yes.
We can't mess life up when God's at the center.
That's the whole thing. He's the one that's got to be. Cedric, I'm going to ask you to go back to track three, You Are My Strength, because people, we've got to focus, reframe our thinking and our attitudes based on God being our strength, God being our hope, God being the source of all that we need, and the changes that need to take place in our life will be done when we submit to the Lordship of Jesus and He becomes our strength. Listen to this.
You are my strength. Strength like no other. Strength like no other. Reaches to me. You are my hope. Hope like no
great song. I love that song. You are my strength. You're my hope. Your faithfulness. You're my strength. So we don't know how to face a lot of things that we haven't happening to us in our lives. But Nan, we've got to realize we've got to become more dependent on the Lord for our daily walk. It's all about dependence on Him, which is indeed trusting Him. It's about becoming so dependent upon Him that we really do listen to what He says, or we really do go and do what He tells us to do, or we make the phone call, send the email, whatever the case may be. Talk to me.
He'll just use us in different kind of ways.
Right.
And we need to be willing to want to be used.
Right.
You know, some people, back to that commitment thing, back to the responsibility thing, some people, you know, some people have the thing that they want to be looked upon by others as being in a high and mighty thing. They won't even do what God's asked them to do.
Right.
You know, they're just wanting to, act or do things just to get attention.
Exactly. And God really wants to deal with us on that.
Right.
And realize that we have to be teachable.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be disciplining ourselves so that it's not about me. It's about the goal. It's about where
right.
we're headed. It's about ministering to people. It's mm-hmm. about being full of God's love. And the people we come in contact with will feel that love if it's sincere mm-hmm. and genuine.
They'll
also detect phony.
And they will that too.
They will detect phony. Talk to me, Carol.
Well, I find it interesting to think in my mind that one day I'll be in heaven with Jesus. And
mm-hmm.
I just don't know the joy of feeling everybody loving each other. It, you know, it's going to be a big family.
Isn't it cool?
And it is going to be no attitudes of pride, no attitudes of I'm better than you are, I'm better than everybody standing around you right now, or whatever. It's going to be one of peace and one of joy and one of loving each other and responding to each other in kind and gentle ways.
Amen.
In Ephesians 5:19, it reminds us to speak to each other with psalms and
Amen.
Hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music in your hearts to the Lord, and always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are nothing. We have nothing. Everything we have here is on loan by His goodness, His gracious, His mercy, His love for us.
Amen. It
and
is.
We can't do anything in our lifetime but bow our head and say thank you. For some people who would, you know, may find it difficult to express a faithfulness and a love for Jesus, if they would just bow, you know, just bow their head and say thank you.
Yes.
Because we are who we are, we are what we are, we are His children, and those of us that have heard His call on our lives, that walk in faithfulness, that walk in love and purity toward Him, we understand the relationship that we have.
Right.
And we are truly kids of the kingdom.
Right. Absolutely. And we have a responsibility to do exactly what Paul talks about here on the area of walking. We've got to learn to walk in love. We've got to realize that sometimes no is a loving answer. And
yes, it is.
It's not always that we have to do everything that is put upon us. Sometimes it is actually a loving response. Nan, comment on that, if you will, about the word no, because I see you wrote it down on your paper over here in big print. So you must have needed to hear that today, Nan.
I must have needed to hear that today.
Okay.
No, it's okay to say no.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, people need to pray about, excuse me, pray about anything that, excuse me, pray about what they're supposed to say yes to.
Right. Exactly. Go ahead and cough and we'll go on. Carol.
You know, the word no is a complete sentence. You don't have to say it in anger. You can say it in loving kindness and say, no, I will not do that, or I can't do that, and these are my reasons why. If
right.
you feel like you must offer someone a reason.
Right, and sometimes we don't need to do
every
that.
Every kid that I've ever taught for 30 years, the word no is a complete sentence.
Exactly. And that goes especially for those that are in abusive situations. And, you know, we're praying for a few of those kinds of situations right now for different people that some of us know in our lives. And, you know, we just speak strength to those who are in violent or abusive emotionally, physically issues and relationships right now that you will get strength. Because God is your strength. Maybe that's one reason we played this song again. In fact, before we get to the final comments here, I want to pray right now because it's just coming all over me. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift up those in our listening audience that are listening now live or will listen in the future who are in abusive situations, who are in relationships that are pulling them down, relationships that are causing them to feel less than. relationships that are beating them up, maybe physically or emotionally or spiritually. Lord, we lift up those individuals, whoever they are and wherever they are. And we ask you right now to become their strength, their hope, their whole reason for living. Lord, we ask that you send laborers into the harvest, into those people's lives, so that they will hear the truth of how much you love them, God, and that you died for them, no matter how awful their life may feel that it is right now, that you have hope and you have a reason and you have a purpose and you have a way out of that mess. Lord, we pray for those people because I feel such a burden right now. Whoever those are, Lord, you can and will do the work that needs to be done to extricate them from those abusive and violent situations. In the name of Jesus, we declare that right now. And we thank you for the freedom for these individuals. In Jesus' name. Amen. There is a verse that's coming to me right now, Nan and Carol. It is Isaiah 51:14. It is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Isaiah 51:14, and it says, "The one in chains will soon be set free and will not die in the dungeon, nor will his bread be lacking." I don't know who that's for. Somebody out there, if it's for you and you want to contact me, you can, pastor@bohmglobal.com, and I will talk with you and pray with you about your situation, pastor@bohmglobal.com. The one in chains will soon be set free and will not die in the dungeon, nor will his bread be lacking. Isaiah 51:14 is for someone. Carol, give us your final words. The clock is ticking down.
Yeah, my final words deal with the same situation you just prayed about. No human being, no man, no woman can define you. The only person that can define you is Jesus Christ. He took his stripes on his back for the punishment that you're taking every single day from that boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, or wife. He took that so that you wouldn't have to.
Amen.
He will give you courage. He will give you strength. He will give you an outreach. You must call on him now.
Amen.
Your very life and the lives of your children depend on it.
Amen.
And we take that to heart and know that this church is praying for you
Yes. In
every single way that we can. And we want you to have the strength and the courage to open that door and step out of it and become the human being that God has defined you to be.
Amen. And if you want to, you can call our church cell phone, leave a message, and we'll get back to you. It's 813-417-3377. We don't use it very much anymore. We used to use it a lot, but now with email, 813-417-3377. Leave a message and I will return your call, or write me personally, pastor@bohmglobal.com, or send a prayer request. Carol will be picking it up. Carol, right there, our Carol that's right here on the air today, prayers@bohmglobal.com. Tell your story. You don't have to give us your name if you don't want to. You can sign in anonymous and we'll be praying for you. prayers@bohmglobal.com. Wow. Carol, did you have anything else to add to that before I get to Nan for a final thought?
I guess what I might add is to put on the full armor of God so that you can fight against the devil's evil tricks.
Amen.
And the devil is the person beating on you right now, the person who's told you that you're less than, the person that has threatened your animals or your children in order to keep a control over you.
Amen.
Put on God's armament.
Amen.
And know that he loves you, he will protect you, he always guides you.
Amen.
Seek first his peace.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Carol. You're always a blessing. We love you being a part of this radio team. You've been a part of us for a long time on the air. I've been clear back to the beginning. So we
Now I have gray hair.
And now you do have gray hair, but you're a blessing. God bless you and Maxine.
Thank you so much.
Nan's got a word here. Final word.
I know it's for at least one person, maybe more. And I did, there again, feel it's along the line of an abuse situation.
Okay.
I see where you are. This is from God. I see where you are. I understand it all. You don't see the answers, but they will be revealed to you. Walk on with confidence and courage. I am with you. I will lead and guide you. Things don't seem fair, but I see. I will move. Believe me. Walk on. Reach out to those around who you feel understand. I will heal. I will restore. Walk on. Put on your armor. You will be victor. You will make it with my help. Walk on with confidence. I am your strength.
And Carol just mentioned
Carol just mentioned the armor.
So look at how this is the Holy Spirit,
yeah, exactly.
Guys. We don't know who you are out there that's suffering right now, but God knows who you are. And it came through Carol, and now it also came through Nan about putting on the armor. That's Ephesians 6:10-18. So go there, put on the helmet of salvation. We're going to teach on that soon. The armor of God. Wow, that is God. So whoever you are, we want to hear from you. You can contact Carol at prayers@bohmglobal.com if you want to contact her. And again, you do not have to give us your name. You can contact me personally, pastor@bohmglobal.com. And for whoever you are, God wants to move in your situation and change your circumstances. And he wants to give you backbone and strength.
Right.
He is your strength. That song, you can play this show over and over again. The music on this show has been amazing. It'll be up on our website sometime tomorrow evening. It'll stay there and you can play it over and over again. You are my strength. You are my hope. You're everything I need. Thank you, God, for intervening for this, mm-hmm. at least mm-hmm. one individual. I think there's more than one. In the name of Jesus, we speak deliverance and healing and strength to that person in Jesus' name. Thank you, Nan. Thank you, Carol. As always, dear ones, you are invited to our services and Sunday morning, 10:30, and Wednesday night at 7 at 3580 Almerton Road in the Ramada Inn on the front right section of the building. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, if you'd like to plant a financial seed. Also, go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, to listen to old radio shows. And we've got a plethora, I love that word, of old shows there so you can learn the word and get some good teaching. It is always a joy to be with you every Sunday afternoon. I look forward to this block of time in my week constantly, Nan. It's exciting to me when we walk in here and put our headphones on.
Oh, I feel the same way.
What a joy. What a joy. So we will see you next Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock on this radio station. It's Not Far to Jesus. It's been Pastor Marcia, Nan, and Carol saying God bless you. Have a great week. Contact us if you need to. Reach out, okay? Reach out. God bless you. Have a great week. It's Not Far to Jesus.
Not far from here to Jesus. His loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no need for you.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.